Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have another exciting installment of our segment, Investing Shorts, and I'm so happy to bring back Neil Bertrand to the show. Neil, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Yes, absolutely. You all definitely check out Neil's previous episode where he talks all about, you know, his project that he's working on, which is just phenomenal and very interesting. We need more housing in this country, and Neil's building it. So today, Neil, I want to ask you about the downsides of real estate investing and the risks associated with it. I know you've been around for a long time, and we're at, you know, a pretty hot point in the market cycle. Even in the wake of COVID, things are just still very, very hot. And, you know, in light of that, what advice would you give to passive investors? What should people be thinking about?
You know, as a passive investor perspective, really what you don't know can hurt you, right? And what we've seen over the last maybe since 2012, roughly 2012, is kind of a new group of investors and deal sponsors coming in who have never seen a downturn. They've never seen a down market. And, you know, I remember taking assets back from the bank in receivership out of foreclosure, right? Because of bad decisions people made, bad purchases. And so what you have is you have an environment where, I've said it before, okay, let's think about something. I don't know what state everybody, whatever state you're in, just check out the requirements necessary to become a licensed cosmetologist in your state, okay? Now go check out the requirements to become a deal sponsor in your state. And I can promise you there is more education required to cut hair than there is to become a deal sponsor or a syndicator. So as a passive investor, I want to know, what is that deal sponsor's background? How long have they been doing this? What does their underwriting look like? Are they using some mentor program, four-tab Excel underwriting model, or are they using something that's more robust and, you know, you can account for many, many different variables? You know, where's the asset at? Go to City Data, look at some of the stats there, but really ask that deal sponsor the hard questions too. Have you ever not paid out distributions? Factor out COVID, right? Obviously, COVID hit, shelter in place, cash became king. But under normal operating circumstances, has there ever been a time that you were unable to pay out distributions and why? Okay. Mm-hmm. Ask them why they're so bullish on this deal. What supports the price they're willing to pay, right? What supports their rent increase that they think they can get? The properties that are really, you know, you hear a lot of times people say, well, the in-place rents are $200-$300 below market. Which assets, right? Because your nearest comp is not 8 miles away. It's the immediate vicinity. It's very easy to look at an asset that just to look at it because it has higher rents, but is it a true comp? Mm-hmm. So ask them how they, you know, how are you justifying those numbers, right? And then what is the risk with this deal, right? Is it in an area where, I'll give you an example, when COVID hit, had an asset in Atlanta right by the airport. And the bulk of the people that live there, they worked at the airport in some capacity, baggage handler, concessions, the little restaurants inside. Basically, 44% of the property was laid off. Right. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things in that area that can have an immediate impact on the financial strength of that property? Mm-hmm. If this deal sponsor does not have a great deal of experience, you know, it's said that it takes 10,000 hours to become a master or an expert at something, right? Who is on their team that does have that wealth of experience, right? I mean, if I, as a passive investor, I'm looking to put money with someone, then they need to have worked with or have on their team somebody who has experience with very large institutional investors, okay, that are not really a part of the whole syndication crap guru boot camp, right? Because I'm sorry, anyone who only owns 2,000 units, they have no business charging you $20,000 to teach you how to level up, right?
Yeah.
I want Robert Pfaff, who owns Graystar and is managing over 600,000 units, to teach me how to level up.
Yeah.
So it's experience, because that's where the line is in the sand is drawn. Have you been through an economic downturn? Do you know how to handle it? Do you have the breadth of experience, not only in the market that you're buying this deal, but overall? Again, question everything. Just because you like someone is no reason to invest with them if it's not a good deal.
Yeah, for sure. Very interesting. And I mean, you know, very, very important questions. I think you did a great job of like laying out how people can really try to vet sponsors, because there are a lot of new people in the space and, you know, you want to be careful with your money, of course.
They are all much better at marketing than they are at operations.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a sad part of the business that marketing is so critical to growing a business. But operations is where things kind of really, the rubber really hits the road, and that's where you make your money. I mean, for those of you who haven't yet heard Neil's show, he worked in operations for a really long time for some of the bigger companies. And so he knows how things work on the ground, which is amazing. I want to ask you another follow-up question about, you know, buying older assets versus building newer assets. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of price per unit for some older assets. And you mentioned this a few times, even in 2017, assets are still, you're finding easier, less expensive to build than to buy. Yeah. Can you just talk a little bit more about that? Because I think, you know, there is housing stock in the center of the city that we do want to renovate and improve, right? But then we also have a need for housing, and then building some, like a lot of housing has to happen outside of the city. So there's a lot of different like factors at play here. At the same time, from an investor perspective, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to overpay for anything. Mm-hmm. So curious about your thoughts on all that.
Why would I buy a five-year-old Class A property at $330,000 a door when I can build one right now for $225,000 a door? It's as simple as that, right? And I'm walking in with appliances under warranty, right? A lot of things under warranty, brand new property. I really don't have an uptick in my expense for the first 5 to 6 years when people, you know, appliances start going out, those type of things. Whereas when you buy a property, you know, was built, even depending on your geographic location, 5 to 6 years ago, you're going to start seeing stress cracks, right? You're going to start having those deferred maintenance issues. So at really right now, cap rates, just how quickly they compressed over the last 5 to 8 years, there's really no variance in cap rates between the classes anymore. Mm-hmm. And if I can build brand new for less than what I can buy, it's a no-brainer, and the returns will be much better. And if you're building in an area that is got great in-migration and the data supports that, and you know that for the next 5 to 8 years, that trend is going to continue, it's a very safe bet. Because, you know, what happens is we as humans, we like brand new shiny objects.
And yeah,
if I'm building a brand new shiny object just down the street from your 5, 6-year-old property, I'm getting a lot of people's attention, right? Mm-hmm. That's the other thing to think about too. When you're buying at $330 a door and there's dirt in your area, you're going to sooner or later get hit in concessions, right? In fact, I had someone approach me the other day about, hey, do you guys want to partner with us on this new development deal work they're doing? And my first question was, is how much dirt is around you? And they were very smart. They're buying the last of the dirt. So they won't be in a concession war for 4 years, which is literally what happens when you have your 18 months worth of concessions during lease up or construction and lease up, and then somebody else is building, and now you have to compete with their concessions. So again, right now, it just makes more sense to build versus buy. And then, of course, the older the asset, you have to think, how many groups have owned that asset? How many property managers and lead maintenance, and all of the different people you know, who worked there. And, you know, what if you had a maintenance technician who was great at duct tape and rubber bands, right? As opposed to actually fixing and repairing things. And that's when due diligence becomes even more critical. So, you know, it's the older assets just operation wise are more expensive. We're at the end of the value add kind of golden egg. I mean, what I'm seeing assets like that have traded 4 or 5 times still being touted as value add. No, they're not. I'm sorry. They're not.
Yeah.
Do you install a Nest thermostat and try to get $25 out of that? No, yeah. It's not going to happen. That kind of, they're unicorns now, right? I mean, we did look at a deal very close to me that 83 build and had some great institutional owners who didn't want to do the value add, but the property was in great, you know, sticks and bricks were great shape. That was a unicorn, right? The deal worked. Mm-hmm. There's just, you know, it's really getting harder and harder and harder to justify buying older assets.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah. Okay. I have so many questions about this, and if we could just go a little further. So you're building, and who would you say you're building for? Like what kind of income level is it? You know, the value add stuff is workforce housing, or supposedly it's workforce housing. Are you able to serve workforce housing with the new build?
Not on these particular projects.
Okay.
We are looking at the opportunity to try and do that, but our current projects are aimed towards the knowledge workers, IT, you know, engineers, high income earners, people who don't want the hassle, people who are renters by choice, and they want a maintenance-free lifestyle. And so we're building in areas where, you know, $130,000, $140,000 a year median income in a 1 mile radius.
Okay. And, you know, just as someone who's kind of in the development world and thinking, like, what is your take on how we're going to, as a society, be able to like produce enough housing for that workforce housing group?
I think it, and I'm speaking from having experience running a 3,000 unit portfolio for AIG when they were in the tax credit space. We really need affordable tax credit housing, right? Mm-hmm. That income restricted type housing. Because I'm sorry, if you are even looking at some of these B and C class deals, mm-hmm. where one bedrooms are pushing 1,000 or more, and you've mm-hmm. got people that are making, you know, $15 an hour, the numbers don't work. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this earlier, I'm just surprised we haven't seen really those groups, those tax credit groups, kind of come back around. In fact, I'm surprised we haven't seen any kind of movement from the government to incentivize tax credit developers to get back in that space. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if you know anything about the tax credit world, there were a lot of scandals or a lot of people who were getting deals done by doing favors for whatever city councilman. So it kind of got a bad reputation. But for the most part, a lot of the tax credit developers did a good thing for a lot of people by providing that affordable housing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess another question. So, I mean, obviously there's the government incentives. I was worked in that world for quite a while, but I always have wondered like, well, is there like more of a market-based solution? Can we build housing for less? Yeah.
You know, 3 years ago, I would have said it was possible to build, but given how supply and labor costs have gone up, even to try and build, you know, a very stripped down, zero amenity type asset, you would still have to charge some pretty premium rents for the area. And there's, you know, there's people out there doing it, but what they're not building affordable housing, they're building stripped down A properties with, you know, no big fitness centers and pool rooms and all of the bells and whistles, right? It's just, you got your apartment, you got a pool, that's it. Mm-hmm. Even though to build something where you're putting in black or white appliances, you're putting in lower end fixtures. The labor cost is what's going to impact that right now, right? And the supply chain issues, the lumber, those type of things. So it would make it really hard. 3 years ago, it was possible. 3 years ago, I was looking at doing this with another group. How can we build, essentially build a B product, right? Mm-hmm. Just build a nice, clean and green community for, I like to call the salt of the earth, you know, America's backbone.
Yeah.
The blue collar, the gray collar guys.
Yeah. So you looked at it and it didn't work.
Yeah, it was hard to make it pencil out. And where you would have to actually build those assets, really the only thing, the only options you had was to try and find a property that needed to be torn down and level it and build on top of it, right? Because you're not going to build this kind of stripped down A or B product in an area, you know, most of, I don't know about everybody else, but where I am, where all the available dirt is, there's $300,000-$500,000 homes, right? And if you think about what's needed for that workforce, they need to be near where their jobs are. So the industrial areas, right? And there's no dirt there.
Yeah. So it basically, it doesn't make sense or pencil in the areas where there is dirt.
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts on that, Neil, and just for, you know, all the advice that you gave today. Really, really interesting stuff. Would you please now share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and your firm and anything else you want to share?
Sure. You can learn more about us by visiting www.rgxinvest.com. Our direct capital website is www.reitgroupventures.com, or you can email me at Neil, N-E-I-L, at reitgroupx.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, I hope you all take some time to check out Neil and everything that he and his partners are working on. Some really, really amazing stuff. Thanks so much, Neil, for coming on the show for this installment of Investing Shorts, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.